Alright, g'day Novacast friends, and welcome to your round 24 preview for the Jets away fixture against the Wellington Phoenix. We're currently on location at my local, all the way down here in Sydney, Seven Hills RSL, in the bowels of the RSL with absolutely nobody around us. It's actually, it's complete bedlam boats. What's going on?
Mate, it's going off. Usually this time of New Year at night, there's fights and glassings.
Yeah,
and
someone's glassing someone. So you've heard Bodes. He's one of the three people I've got joining me today who are heading over to Wellington against most Jets fans' better judgment to watch the away fixture. So g'day, Bodes, as your official welcome. How you going, mate?
Yeah, thanks, Ferns, for having me, and also a live rendition of Beers with Bo.
Yeah, that'll be coming up very shortly. It took you 3 months to get the Christmas edition over and done with, so we're actually going to do it live, so that you've got you're not going to be spending ages going through the beers at home and then not appearing on the podcast.
Can we just start so I can start drinking?
Yeah, in a minute. And also we welcome two lads who are probably going to chime in at various points occasionally. G'day, Waspy and Craig.
G'day.
How
evening.
You
guys all primed to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and catch a 6 a.m. train from Seven Hills to the city to jump on a plane to get over to New Zealand?
I'll wait and see after a couple more paddles, I think.
That's so. It.
Yeah, warm Heineken beers in the morning are always good at the airport.
Oh, absolutely. Well, hey, the Heineken beers actually weren't too bad last time. I was serving them at 1 degree, if I remember correctly. All right, so opening question. Impromptu opening question. If you could bring in another team to the A-League purely for the away trip, what team would you bring in?
Canberra.
Canberra?
Canberra.
What's going on in Canberra that makes that an awesome away trip?
Illegal fireworks.
Pornography.
Do I need say more?
Okay, fair enough. Waspy?
Tasmania.
Yeah?
Definitely Tasmania.
What's going on down there?
Ancestry.
Three heads.
I don't know. Be nice to go to a football game where it's actually not like 38 degrees.
The closer you get to Antarctica, the more English the weather gets. Yeah, Craig, what about you?
Oh, I'd have to be Tasmania as well, I think. You know?
Yeah. Same reasons.
Oh, I could see some old people at a game.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, now as we mentioned, we are going to do a live Beers with Bodes. They sell $9 paddles here at the Seven Hills RSL, which is not too bad. Get some beers in here you may not have tried before or haven't really drunk too much. So Bodes, what's the first cab off the rank?
The first cab off the rank, I don't know if anyone's heard it. Victoria Bitter. No, it's a Little Creatures Pale Ale, which is a Western Australian beer. Nice beer.
All right, drink it. Tell us what you think. How does it compare?
Very very light in flavour.
Yeah. Not a great deal of body?
Oh, no, it's got some body, but it's a lighter touch. It's a nice couple of hops.
Now, Waspy, you're also indulging in the same paddle, so what about you? How's the Little Creatures?
Oh, fine drop.
He's a connoisseur. He's a connoisseur. All right, number two, the second one. What's the second one? That was the...
The second one is the Four Pints Kolsch, which is a golden ale, German beer. Not going to taste that because I'm going to finish the first one. The one after that is a summer ale.
69. Yeah. Riverside.
Summer Ale. Let me finish.
All right.
Riverside Ale. And the last one is Sydney Cider, so don't really need to go any further.
That's all right. Well, I can go into the Sydney Cider. I'm actually having a nice schooner of it right now. It's actually quite a nice drop for a cider. It's not too sweet. It's not as sweet. It's got a little bit more body to it. So it's one of those ones where it's not going to make you recoil when you drink it because it's got so much fucking sugar in it. All right.
I'll jump in here first.
I'm over it.
Yeah,
for the non-alcoholics out there, I have the vanilla Coke.
Welcome back to 2003. Yeah.
That does bring back a lot of memories of vanilla Coke and vodka.
Jesus.
Very crisp as it used to be.
Crisp or creamy?
Creamy. Very creamy.
I went out of production like years ago. But yeah, well, here we are.
I'm pretty sure the expiry date's like 2004.
Yeah, it sounds about right. All right, so we'll jump into the preview. Round 24 sees the Jets flying to Wellington to take on the Phoenix at Westpac Stadium this Sunday, the 26th of March, kickoff at 5 p.m. Obviously Australian time. Bodes, first and foremost, the away trip. Why is it such a great away trip?
Just really on the way in, just a real shaky way.
That's always fun.
The most important thing for me is the people. the guys over there are awesome, always looked after as well. It's a different country. There's not many leagues in the world where you have an away day in another country, maybe besides England and Wales, but geez, that's like Australia to Tasmania sort of thing. So yeah, look, it's the people, it's the location, it's just a fantastic trip. And it's definitely not about the football, because I can only remember, I've only been to one win.
Yeah, that's very true. What about you, Westby?
Exactly the same as Bodie, pretty much. It's people, but it's great, the relationship between like Kiwis and the Aussies.
Can be confrontational at times.
Yeah, it can be. When we go over there, we're taken care of very well, and also vice versa. When they come to Newey, we always take good care of them.
Yep.
Just great pubs, great food, great people. That's it.
Craig, you've been on a couple of Wellington away trips. This is your third or fourth?
Third or fourth, I can't remember now.
What was your best experience out of all the Wellington trips and why?
I think the first one I went to was our first win over there for a long time, which was good. But, you know, I can vaguely remember a few of them.
Which is usually the theme of the trip.
The first one was probably the most memorable one. Yeah, first away, real away trip with the boys was good. So,
And it's not just the boys too, because usually the first Wellington away trip is usually earlier on in the season, and there's usually a good cross section of people, boats that come along to the Wellington away trips. It's not just blokes. It's a lot of different supporters.
Yeah, it's a trip where anyone can come and join in, sort of thing, and get to know other fans. Like, I've met fans you wouldn't even see in a home game for the 12 years the Jets have been around, sort of thing. You meet them for the first time, you find out their story, sort of thing. And look, you might not even see them till the next Wellington away trip when they come. So it's really just one of those trips where it's special. And I think the Wellington guys appreciate it as well, because they know how much it costs to travel to New Zealand. So they appreciate it as well.
And how much does it cost for an away trip, depending on when you purchase your
plans? If you're a non-alcoholic,
it can be quite cheap.
It can be done quite on the tip. Oh, hang on, we've got an important announcement.
All children must now be off the
club
premises.
Okay, boats.
Sorry, boats.
I've been given a message to leave. I'll see you. If you're smart enough and you get the weekly specials and the flights, so flights and accommodation, you can do it for under $500. You can do it. It is possible.
Staying in a backpack is getting the cheap flights.
Yeah, all that sort of stuff.
$380 return, yeah, I think, is usually the cheapest.
Exactly. The second you put alcohol and food to it, that's when it gets up. But
yeah, it doubles.
Let's not talk about that.
For me, without being rude, I've pissed away thousands of dollars going to New Zealand. You know what? I don't regret it.
Yep.
A cent of it.
And just sticking with you, as someone who's been to quite a number of away trips around the league, how does it compare to other away league away trips? So going to Perth, going to Adelaide, going to Brisbane, going to Melbourne?
It'd be number one for me, just purely on... just the whole ordeal itself, closely followed by Adelaide for me.
Okay, too easy. What about you, boys?
Wellington's still number one. Multiple times now, whatever, right up there. But still, Adelaide, I think, is like second as well, due to just the experience at the ground as well, where it sort of seems like you're on top of the game, even though we haven't had great success over there. But do love watching football there. And also Melbourne, Amy Park's just best place in probably Australia to watch football. So
yeah, absolutely. What about you, Craig? How many other away trips have you done, and how does it compare to Wellington?
I think the group of people we go with and the people in New Zealand, it's hard to pass by. I don't think I've ever been over there and not had a good trip. You can go to other places and you do have the odd occasion where it's bit of a downer, you know, sometimes the crowds there are not good, that sort of stuff. So it's hard to go past Wellington, really.
Well, personally for me, I've been to a couple of away trips myself. I would obviously rank with you guys Wellington as the top, closely followed by Melbourne. I've been to a few, especially in the early days of the A-League. The Melbourne Victory away games were usually decent. All right, so we'll jump into the preview with a few stats to kick it all off. Phoenix currently sitting 7th on 23 points. Their last 5 fixtures, they pulled 4 points from 15. So 2 losses, a win, a draw, and then another loss. Jets sitting 8th, 22 points. A draw, a loss, a draw, and 2 more losses. 2 points from the last 15 points. Just to compare, the running Wanderers sitting in sixth position on 28 points. So they're 5 points ahead of the Phoenix and 6 points ahead of the Jets. There's only one goal separating the Phoenix and the Jets with goal difference. Previous meetings in New Zealand, there's been 16 matches, the Jets versus the Phoenix in New Zealand. The Jets have won 3 times, the Wellington Phoenix have won 10, and there's been 3 draws. Overall, 30 matches, 9 Jets wins, 16 Wellington wins, and 5 draws. Naboo's currently our top scorer with 8 goals. Krishna is their top scorer with 11 goals. A couple of points, Jets have only lost twice in New Zealand in the last 5 seasons. So there's been a lot of draws in there and only two losses. The Jets have lost the last 4 away fixtures this season, which says it's not going too great for away fixtures at the moment. And another one, just to make everybody a little bit more positive about the whole weekend, the Jets haven't scored the first goal in an away game all season. So, Bodes, yeah, really starting. There's good and bad points to that, but obviously it's not great, not a great hunting ground for the Jets when we go over to New Zealand.
No, it's not, and not to go spruiking my own horn, but I've been there about 11 times and seen one win, and I'm actually going to put it to the Wellington guys this weekend to see if they want to pay, because I think I'm assurance that they're going to win whenever I go over there.
Yeah, exactly. Lay-by on points.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no stat there really provides any positivity, so
Anything in those stats jump out for you, Wasby?
Well, shocking, of course. Yeah. But
almost as bad as Perth.
Almost as bad as Perth. Jeez, and that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
I think as Craig's been a few times, I think he's had the best run of things. He's actually seen a win and a draw and a loss sort of thing. But
yeah, it's been good overall, Craig.
Yeah, also
for the most part, compared to other people's.
Yeah,
compared to other people's away.
I remember one year when it was like 3-0 down after about 15 minutes, and I was like, well, might as well go to the bar,
yeah.
I think.
Do we stay in the away end, or we just go, fuck it, and walk off? All right, fair enough. Okay, so the squad. Hoffman returns. Allwright has been promoted. Archibald returns from injury. So the full squad it's available for selection. Two players in this squad are going to be omitted. So Mullen, Hoffman, Bugard, Kantorovsky, Jugarkovic, Hull, Poliak, Koko, Brown, Vuitta, Naboo, Lele, Nordstrom, Duncan, Jackson, Katrumbis, Allwright and Archibar. Cowburn is out due to international duty. No Klute selected, no Lava, no Halidi selected. Bodes, it's close to a full strength team, but this team hasn't really been performing to its potential for a couple of weeks now anyway.
No, it hasn't. And I didn't get to go on the review podcast on Monday. I think it's really more or less now it's coming down to the selection of how we're playing these players. I'd be very interested to see how we line up on Sunday.
Yeah, what about for you, Wasby? It's been, close to a full-strength lineup, but we really need the players who are supposed to be our first picks to really step up.
We just need to put the strongest team possible on the field, and it's just, I don't know, they just can't put it together at the moment. It's like, as Hoffman said, I think, a couple of nights ago, it's all about results now and less conversation and more action and all that, and it's all well and good to say that, but you've got to put the results on the park sort of things, and it's just not happening, so yeah. It's just...
Craig, the last couple of games, we've had most of the full squad available. There's really only been one or two omissions, but we still haven't been able to get the win or a decent result. Is that more down to the players not performing, or maybe the selections from the coach?
I think it's got to do with both. I think, you know, playing players like Kantorovsky in the midfield and that sort of stuff, you know, is Jones like putting Kantorovsky there to give him time to make a decision about his contract for next year?
Good point.
Are we at the point, that time of the year now, where youth players would now be promoted into the team to see if they are worthy for another contract? It does look like that for some players, and then some players look like they're down in confidence. Like, we should be at the end of the season now, where formations are set. Players have got confidence, but you look at other players, and as soon as they miss a ball or something like that, their heads just drop, and as soon as that starts happening, the whole team just does the same thing. It's a flow-on effect.
Get wilts. Bodes, so a couple of questions with the likely starting lineup. Is Jones going to revert to having a Hoffman at right back and Vuitta at left back?
If Vuitta's fit, he has to play left back, in my opinion. And yes, Hoffman should come back into right back. because I am so anti centre backs playing fullbacks. It's not funny, but the biggest thing for me, and sorry if you are planning on asking someone else about it, Ferns, is we have to play Coco and Nordstrom together up front this week. It is without fail, it has to happen. The 45 minutes they played against the Mariners, what happened? Nordstrom straight to Coco, goal.
Yep.
They have to play those two up front this weekend if they want to win.
All right, well, we'll ask Waspy and Craig one each. So, Waspy, are you hoping that Jonesy is going to revert to having fullbacks in fullback positions, so Hoffman and Voyitza rather than Mullen and Katrumbas?
Well, you'd have to bring Hoffman back in. He was, I guess, doing all right at the moment, but that's his natural position this year. But you have to just, all out attack this week as well. Like, it was just Hoffman, just has to come back.
No worries.
I don't know. Well, much to say sort of thing.
That's fair enough. Craig, Coco, is he going to remain as the should he remain as the number nine, and will he remain as the number nine?
I think he should remain as number nine. Realistically, other than the young youth player that we got from Brisbane,
Sawyer.
There really is no other number nine we have. I wouldn't put Nordstrom as a number nine. He's probably plays better in behind Coco. So realistically, we don't have another number nine. Something that we really lacked this year. So yeah, I think he really should be number nine and give him 60, 65 minutes. I don't think he'd be playing a full 90, but yeah, 65 minutes is number nine. Yeah, I can see that.
Bodes, Coco, you said you wanted Nordstrom to play as well. That means Brown drops out. Do you think that's a good idea?
No, Brown doesn't drop out for me. Brown drops back a bit deeper for me. Kanarowski drops out. And the two centre midfielders are Garkovic and Brown. Look, I know a lot of people have got their hesitation about Brown playing a bit deeper, but at this point in time, I think Brown is an important player for us and needs to be on the pitch. And at this point in time, for Coco and Nordstrom to work together, I think it's best suited that Brown drops back.
Okay, so that's the same for you, Waspy, or do you think that we should be playing Coco, Brown in behind, and then have playing our usual Ugarkovic and Poliak as the centre mids, as the defensive mids?
No, you got to have the two guys. You got to have Nordstrom and Coco both on the field up front, and with Brown at the back there. Like, they got a lot of players out this week. There's no point sort of playing a counter-attacking football or trying to change it up. You just got to go out there and score goals, I guess, and this is a game you've got to do it against. So.
Same for you, Craig? Different mind?
Well, debating what the Wellington's actually going to team is going to set up like, it looks like they're going to have a lot of younger youth players come in.
Yep.
Is it really going to be worthwhile playing two defensive midfielders? Probably not. We do need to chase, 3 points. It's simple as that. There's no point, like Waspy said, sitting back, waiting for, a counter-attack to get a goal or, something like that. We probably really need to go for it. And, if we play with one defensive midfielder and have Brown floating in the middle, setting players up, we should do that, really.
Yeah, well, that's probably not a bad idea, because Brown does work his socks off, so you're probably not going to lose too much mobility by dropping one of those defensive midfielders out.
As long as he can hit a six-yard pass.
He didn't last week.
He's also there. He'll have a hit from way outside the box, too.
Yeah, well, it's about time. He hasn't done one
He's scored a couple of good goals this year, sort of thing. It was way back in the start of the year.
I don't know if I can remember back that far.
But it was a ripper, right?
Yeah, it was a ripper. Yeah, exactly right. Okay, so talking about Wellington, they're missing Moss, Doyle, Krishna, Durante, Smeltz, McGlinchey and Rufa. Barbarousis hasn't been selected for New Zealand and will play. So that means that the forward players that they've got, Bodes, Barbarousis, Finkler, Bonaventure and Watson, that's still a pretty dangerous attack.
I don't think Bonaventure is playing.
Okay.
I don't think he's played in a couple of weeks, so I don't expect him to play. But Barbarousis and Finkler is not to be blinked at, especially Barbarousis, who for some reason, I don't know why he hasn't been picked for the New Zealand team.
I think it's got to do with the players they've picked already as well. I think they've picked other players that fill in his spot rather than Barbarousis. But even still,
Barbarousis is probably one of the better New Zealand players that I know. Anyway, that aside, you've got to worry about him. And look, at the end of the day, they've still got the young fella in the middle, Rodriguez, and then the Italian fellow at the back who's strong as well. So look, I don't expect them to be, to put it, say, Jets like when we played Melbourne Victory those years ago when we sent out the bunch of kids. So look, I expect them to be competitive, but geez, we have to be considered favourites for this one for once.
Well, I think looking at the latest odds, I think it's pretty close. I think we're 250 a win and Wellington's 260 a win. Yeah, so I think the draw is pretty much the shorter price, I think, at the moment. All right, so Worsby, where do you think they're? Do you think defence is going to be their weakness, or is it going to be fullback positions in the middle of the park
for Wellington?
Yeah. Where do we have to target them?
Well, it'll have to be the defence line, surely. Like, as you just said, with the guys up front there, it's still got a great attacking line up there. I think it's going to be the young guys at the back where Nordstrom and Coco will come into that with experience and play at the higher leagues and done all that sort of stuff, where they're going to have to cause a lot of problems. So yeah, hopefully we can unravel them at the back and go from there, I guess.
So. All right. Craig, jumping back to the Jets, what's your preferred starting lineup for this game? Starting goals.
Obviously, Duncan and goals. Is Duncan back?
Duncan and Archer are both back. Yeah. Both available.
So Duncan and goals. You have to have Hoffman, Bugard, Fijica,
Jackson.
And then you'd have your Garkovich partnering with Brown, and then Naboo, Hull, Nordstrom, and Coco.
Anyone else have any different ideas about that, or that's basically what everyone else is selecting?
Vijeka and Kaufman as their fullbacks.
Yeah.
This will go really sound funny to people, but if it was my call, I would have Archibald start over Duncan.
Why?
Last couple of Jack has been going well. I've got no problems with him, but he hasn't been as dominating as I thought he would be for a player coming back from European training. So, and when Archibald played the last couple of weeks, I didn't think he deserved to be dropped. I don't think he did anything wrong to be dropped. Look, if Jack starts, I'm not gonna be upset about it. It's not like, say, not playing Nordstrom and Coke up front, because I'll be pissed about that. But look, I think Archibald has done nothing wrong when selected, and look, Jack has got some problems in his game that Archibald definitely has strengths coming out for the ball and crosses. I think Archibald is definitely strong when it comes to that. Duncan still very weak. Not as bad as Mark. Sorry. No, Mark Birbetti got a lot better at it. But yeah, he still does have a lot of issues when coming for crosses. So look, if it was me, I'd be starting Archibald.
I just think playing out of the back, though, that what Jones wants to do.
Well, we don't play out from the back.
Well, Jones sets his... sets his team up to play that. We don't do it, but he sets his team up to play that, and it's just Archibald is not as good playing out the back as Duncan is.
So is Jonesy likely
goalkeeper's first job, stop the ball going in the net. That's first job. Second job, playing out.
It's like
Manchester City. They got Claudio Bravo in to play the ball out. And he might be brilliant at playing the ball out, but I tell you what, he can't save a ball for shit.
Terrible goalkeeper.
All right. Okay, so we've got the boys' preferred lineups. Waspy, do you think that's actually what Jones is going to do, or do you think is he going to go with the same lineup he went last game with maybe one or two changes? Is he going to play two centre-backs as full-backs? Like, is Marlon and Katrimbas going to stay there, or did he see that 4-0 win loss and go, we're not going to do that again?
You'd hope he'd change something up or change something. I just hope he doesn't get in his mind that due to our poor record in Wellington or away games at that we haven't had a win in a while, that he gets into his mind that, okay, we need to play counter-attacking football here, or defensive football, or something along those lines, where Nordstrom would start on the bench and Coco and... change it up after 60 minutes, as Craig said. We have to just go out there and actually dominate the game. And with the youth sort of team on there, a lot of players out due to international duties with things, we just have to go out there and win, sort of thing. Not go on the back foot. This is a game for us to win, not to lose, kind of thing. It's just...
Well, that jumps into the sort of final point before we get into our prediction. Craig, tactics last week that were very sorely lacking. We were played very deep. None of our passes were making it from our midfields to our forwards. Our forward was isolated. We didn't have any runners coming up to him so we could lay the ball off. There were Brown was trying passes. Canner was trying passes that were just going to opposition players. Tactics this week need to be a lot better, and we need to be a lot more intense, and we need to be challenging for those second balls. We need to be challenging for 50-50s. We can't be doing what we were doing last week in the last couple of away games.
Exactly right, and that's what I bring back about the confidence. It just looks like some players just don't have the confidence anymore. Start of the year, you know, when we started, you know, getting some results, the confidence was there, but at the moment, you see someone like Kanarowski can't hit a 6-yard pass, and you think,
why is he playing,
give someone else a go, if he can't hit a 6-yard pass, no, it just doesn't make sense. And I watched the Wellington game last weekend, and tactically we need to go down the right side or whatever side Parkhouse is on, because you watch
what he won't be playing, he's still be on the toilet.
Well, you saw what the Wanderers did, and they just, and I didn't, the Wanderers aren't the greatest team in the world, and they made Wellington's defence...
They played all over them.
Yeah, it looked like crap in that first 20 minutes.
Yeah, and, 20, 30 minutes.
You know, obviously, it's come out and said he was sick and, you know, so on and so forth, but it's still, that whole back line of Wellington just looks so fragile, and we just need to be attacking football and, you know, make it worthwhile.
And Buckingham, after the game last week, absolutely pasted Parkhouse, basically hung him out to dry, saying he never told him he was sick, he should never have played, he would never have played him if he was told he was sick, and basically just threw his player under the bus.
Yeah, and it just wasn't him, though. Like, the whole Wellington team was bad. Like, he just made, like you said, a scapegoat.
I just couldn't put it together for that first 20 minutes. They could have been down 3-0 after 20 minutes.
So, yeah. All right, Bodes, final point before the prediction. How important is it for us to actually score the first goal in this game for confidence, for momentum?
It's going to be the difference between winning and losing for me.
Yeah, we have to.
This, like, we're just saying Wellington played so poorly last week. They played so poorly, and now they're going to be poor minus 7, so of their first team players. So, it's fine.
All right.
Nothing more to be said.
Waspy, prediction. What's the score going to be?
Oh.
Is it going to be a happy away trip, or is it going to be another away trip from
home? I can guarantee it'll be a happy away trip.
regardless
of the game. What do they say? It's a 4-day bender with a Jets game thrown in or something?
Yeah.
With the results I've seen over there for years and years and years, I'm hoping we can get a win, but I can just see like a scummy 1-1 win or something. It'll probably be pissing down rain or something, blowing a gale, East Coast low or so, it comes across the ditch.
Basically Australia.
Basically Sydney or something, and it'll be a scummy 1-1 draw, and at least we'll know our semis are probably done after that. So.
Craig, prediction?
Oh, I'd love to go over there and get another win. I'd love to keep that winning feeling up over there, but...
I don't know who you're
I want
Shut
to
up,
say,
Terry.
I want to say a 2-1 win.
There's your episode title.
I want to say a 2-1 win, but honestly think we'll get done 2-0.
That is a
Barbarossa's brace. Okay. I can see it.
Bodes.
2-0 to the Jets. Michael Bridges and Emil Heskey have hit the goal.
Michael's really drunk.
I'm going back through.
How many of those paddlings? Too many paddlings.
That's a paddling.
The head says 2-2 draw. The heart says we'll somehow scrape a 3-1 win. But
what? How's a 3-1 win a scrape?
Yes. Well, we're the Jets. We'll scrape it.
We're two oddies in there somewhere.
Honestly, depends on the starting line. I know it's the starting lineup's 2 days away, but it really depends on the starting lineup.
All right, fair enough. Okay, we'll quickly preview the rest of round 24 before we get into a little bit of news and then wrap it up. So the round 24 starts on Friday night. Wanderers are hosting City at Winless Stadium, 7:50 p.m. kickoff.
Isn't that last weekend?
Away. They won away.
No, was it?
Okay. Yeah. Oh, damn it.
One win stadium.
Sometime, yeah. Occasional win stadium. All right, Bodes, Wanderers versus City. What do you reckon the score's going to be?
Vision's not playing, so...
True.
City 2-0.
It was 3, but...
Craig?
2-1 to City.
Still go City 1-0.
All right. Also for the fact of keeping our finals hopes alive, just to keep us in suspense for another week, I'm picking a 3-2 win to City. Saturday sees two games. Central Coast taking on Adelaide, 5:35 p.m. kickoff. Bodes, do I need to ask you?
No, 4-0.
4-0, okay.
You didn't say who, Bodes.
Do you listen to this podcast?
No, he really doesn't. Ooh. He'll listen to this week because he's on it.
Yeah. Oh, 10th v 9th, is it? Whoa, that's a clash of the titans.
Well, actually, I think there are. Let me just check. I think they're within 2 points of each other. So, if Central Coast win, they will actually go. They'll be able to go. If Adelaide win, they'll be able to go above. Okay, 18 points Adelaide United, 20 points to the Mariners. So if Adelaide United win, they go above Central Coast, and Central Coast are in the spoon position.
That is a paddling.
That is a paddling.
The only problem is whoever wins, we're just one step closer to a spoon as well. I'll go 2-2.
Okay.
2-2.
I think with the Adelaide playing at the moment, I think they'll get the win. I reckon it'll be 3-0.
Regan for an up and
you've already had
you've
first.
Already, so 4-0. All right, I'm picking a 2-1 win to Adelaide. The next game on Saturday night is actually, I think, the game of the round. Brisbane hosting Melbourne Victory. 7:50 p.m. kickoff, Craig. This will be a good game, I think.
This will be a good game because obviously Victory aren't going to have.
Everyone's out. It's going to be It's going to be a smashing. Brisbane going to smack them.
Brisbane home? Yes.
Yeah. I think Brisbane will get the win up there. I think it's going to be 2-0.
I think it'll be 4-0, 4-1 sort of thing.
Jesus. How many players are with Victory missing?
They're missing
Berisha and
Rojas.
Troisi.
Mm-hmm.
So they're three most deadly attacking weapons. So who are the goals going to come from?
Cal Fella before he signs for us.
Okay. No, Cal Fella doesn't score, he passes. And who's he going to pass to?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I'm going to go 3-1, 3-0 Brisbane.
Okay.
I'll go 2-1 Brisbane.
You gave your score? Yep. 2-0 for me, for Brisbane. And the final game of the round is Perth hosting Sydney FC.
I think that's the better game.
Okay, yeah, well, it could
Perth
be.
Home,
it depends how well, it depends how well Perth play, because they've been woefully inconsistent.
Jeez.
Waspy, score?
Oh, Perth's so hot and cold. If they turn it on at their home ground, I guess they could maybe get a win, but Sydney's just too dominant at the moment. Just
depends how good Tags and Keogh play.
Yeah, that's it.
So, score?
I'll go 2-0 Sydney.
Great.
I reckon Perth will get up. I reckon it'd be 2-1 Perth.
It won't matter, but...
first goal scorer is going to be Taggart, I reckon. 25th minute.
Okay.
Sydney are the same as Melbourne. They're missing Vukovic, who's been their best player, in my opinion, and Ryan Green, who's probably been their second best, so... I'm going to go with Perth 2-0.
Okay. I'm picking a 1-1 draw. All right, so we're recording this before the Socceroos game in Iran, playing Iraq, funnily enough. Now, we'll quickly
What's funny about that?
Well, I don't know, just historical. So we'll quickly go over the Socceroos starting 11 that's just been announced for the kickoff that's happening in half an hour. So a couple of interesting selections. Langerak's playing in goal. Looks like a back three. Deganek, Milligan and Wright. Jedinak and Luongo in defensive mid, and a front five of Cruz, Moy, Juric, Irvine and Leckie. Bode, some interesting choices there from Ange.
Interesting but bold. Wish something Mark Jones would do from time to time, to be honest.
Cruz and Leckie, who have barely scored in the play.
I know the Socceroos are good, but I thought that maybe Jedinak would have been in Milligan's position, but whether that's what happens or doesn't, I'm not too sure. The one that's really exciting for me is that Jackson Irvine is finally starting. I think he's been deserving a start for at least the last 6 months because he's been scoring goals for fun in the championship, and I think the tag of the Aussie Frank Lampard isn't a bad one, so hopefully he has a good game.
Very interesting, Waspy, to see a back three being deployed by Ange.
Yeah,
from home.
Well, yeah, away from home is probably the big
Antonio Conte's winning the Premier League with a back three, so...
Yeah.
Well, I guess I hope that's more of a attacking sense, I guess, of the back three, but very interesting squad there with some of the choices, but some of the choices you can see why he's done it, with especially like Langerats, who's playing for Stuttgart. I know they're in the second division, but coming first and absolutely killing it there at the moment, where Ryan's obviously gone from... Valencia back to Belgium and sort of...
Is he playing?
Yeah, he's starting. He's been playing
He's been doing a hot and cold. Leckie after...
What did he do cold?
Valencia.
playing in Europe.
Leckie's been back on the starting.
See, they're the two I don't agree with. Lecky and Cruz.
Lecky and Cruz, yeah, I was going to say that.
With Lecky, I can see where he's come from that, where he's actually playing consistently
now.
Did
you see his two misses v. Dalton?
Oh, they weren't, mate. If you watch Fox Sports, mate, that's like, it was like a sitter or whatever. It was still way outside the box. But he actually, since the new manager's come in at Ingolstadt, he's actually getting more of a run now. I'm not sure about Cruz because he's playing in China. Like, they got done by Edgy.
Edgeworth. He looked bad against Edgeworth. Edgeworth. Those blokes went to work that day.
They put in. Looks like a pretty attacking lineup up front there, sort of thing. Also, with Rogic out, there's a few guys. Definitely Irvine coming in. He's absolutely killing it at the moment with Burton. He's scored
a bunch of goals.
Like, 8 goals or something this year, and he's.
And my includes 6 weeks off.
And Moy Craig is like the player of the championship at the moment, and he's already got.
If you read about Fox Sports, pulls up every second hour. You must think he shits gold because.
He'll be playing for City next season.
Oh. Can confirm Moy shits
gold. Well, he just got nominated in the Team of the Year there. So made Team of the Year there. Where
it was deserved, though. I've been watching a few of his games, and he runs that midfield over there, and deservedly he did get picked in the team, and he deservedly he's picked in the Australian team, and.
I'd say he's our most important player.
Yeah, he really is, because a lot of our attacking play goes through him. You can look at the stats. He's always got 80%, touches the ball.
It's pretty much him and Tom Rogic, really,
Bodes, just before we get to a prediction, Luongo's stepped up in recent weeks for QPR, started being selected again.
He's done the Vidukes. The big thing for Luongo is that the Asian Cup, he was this outstanding player, and then he dropped off the boil again. It's a bit funny, if anything. I thought by now he could have been playing in the Premier League sort of thing. Like, after the Asian Cup, he was the Aaron Moy sort of thing. Yeah. So,
is he still a young player, though?
He's only 25. 23. Is he? 26. I thought he was only 24.
Keep talking.
I will say one thing, in the last couple of weeks where he scored his first goal for QPR last week in 68 games or something like that.
Yeah.
And then also the weekend... Before
he's 24.
I told you, 24.
You said 23, didn't you?
I said 23, 24.
and the weekend before that, he was in the team of the week out of everything and got a 10 out of 10, whatever, for, I think, 2 assists or something. And QPR are the top form team in the championship at the moment. What?
Don't get me wrong.
Sam Gladys keeps telling me every week.
All right, Craig, what's the score going to be, Australia versus Iraq? Or Iraq versus Australia, if you want to be pedantic.
I think it's going to be...
In Iran.
It's going to be a 2-1 win to Australia, but I think it's going to be left late. I think it's going to be a stoppage time goal, probably knack header.
Boats?
Exactly like the UAE game. 70 minutes, Tim Cahill comes on, 1-0 win.
I say a 1-0 win. We'll dominate most of the game and probably blame the pitch or something like that.
The heat.
They'll have their chances.
It's cold. It's the heat.
Yeah. It's only 30 degrees.
I think it's like 15, 16 degrees.
Really? I didn't think it got that low in the desert.
So Thursday, 30 it is. I think they'll have their chances. Like, I've seen in a few of the games.
It's currently 9 degrees in Tehran.
Jesus, okay. That's a lot lower than
plays more into our hands, I think. But I'm going to say 1-0.
I only took a guess, too. I'm pretty happy with it.
Well done.
I think we'll get a goal from somewhere. I wouldn't be surprised if Langrats make some pretty good saves tonight. They'll pull something out or something like they always do, but hopefully we can get that clean sheet. So.
I think it'll be... I think it will score first, midway through the first half. They'll score early in the second half, and then we'll end up being able to score... late towards the end of the game and come away with a 2-1 win, which will do our World Cup qualifications a great amount of favour to help us get up towards that second position.
Putting on the
vodka in Russia. Yes. All right. So the other thing is, Bodes, can we qualify? Will we qualify?
Yes.
Waspy?
I bloody hope so. With a run of home games coming up, I think you were saying there was like 4 at home coming up. I think with that we. Definitely have to qualify with that, especially with some of the opposition coming up. So,
great. I think after we sat here at dinner and looked at what happens if we come third,
we really need to qualify. You know, you've got someone like USA maybe getting in third spot.
Currently Honduras.
Honduras. Honduras, we really want to go there and
do that.
So, yeah, I think we will qualify. Maybe not first, maybe second, but I think we will qualify. All right,
I'll take a second.
Yeah.
All right. Now, the only bit of news we've got to quickly cover off before we wrap it all up. Bodes, it came out news this week. We're going to be announcing a partnership with a Chilean Premier Liga team, Audax Italiano, a powerhouse.
A Chilean team.
A Chilean powerhouse.
With an Italian name.
Yeah, it makes sense. Initial thoughts?
Alexis Sanchez coming out here to play.
I don't know if he even came from that club.
Well, he's Chilean. look. I don't know. The Mariners had a partnership with Sheffield United, and I guess it got him Nick Montgomery, so...
Well, they got one, so they got one player.
Yeah, so look. I'm timid. I'm unsure how to feel.
It seems like we're just going out and whatever team that Ledman has some sort of dealing with, but he seemed to be teeing up.
They haven't had any dealings with this club before.
Yeah, look, it sounds more business.
Yeah.
More business than football.
It's going to be one of those things like pre-season next year, we'll have this Chilean team come over, we'll have a Chinese team come over.
We'll be having the Ledman Cup.
It's going to be.
Well, that's all right. Arsenal do well with the Emirates Cup every season. It's the only thing they win. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, according to the Herald article, Martin Lee, Laurie McKenna, recent meetings in Chile with members of the Audax management. Basically, McKenna's told the Herald that young players would be coming to the Jets on loan in a potential stepping stone to a contract with China. So it would not really be coming here to play.
China. It's business.
It's business. Yeah. So it wouldn't be getting first team players. It's more like maybe players 12 to 16 in the first team squad, get them on loan, and then sell them on to China. If they don't go to China, they return back to Chile. So. Interesting, Craig.
It is very interesting, and if we were to somehow discover a diamond in the rough, and you know they don't go
to Australia,
and they don't go to China on a big money deal, well, and that pays off for us, great, But it's all about that business, and if that keeps us afloat,
get that paper.
If it keeps us afloat, and get some more involvement in the A-League from Chilean clubs, well. It's a positive, really.
Final thought on it, Waspy. If we're signing Chilean players on loan and they end up being sold on to a club in China, how much would we realistically get from that?
I'm still waiting for Lele's transfer fee.
$1 trillion. Oh, it's too hard to say right now because you just don't know exactly what the intentions are for that, where... You say that like it's youth players going there and youth players coming here. Well, that doesn't really sound like a whole lot for the actual, like the starting side, the actual professional side sort of thing. Where it's all well and good to get a couple of 17-year-olds here, but are they here in Australia for a holiday or something? Yeah. I guess another game in what they're organising in July or something Do like a winter. Pre-season game or something like that.
A pre-season tour in Chile sounds not too bad.
Yeah.
Not too bad, Bodes.
Might have a good way to
Might have to
Hopefully.
Bodes, can you start looking that up?
Webjet.
Right. Yeah. Email specials on the right. No, I'm just going to Webjet.
How are we going, gents? The big screen's on the soccer, and I'll turn the volume up when it kicks off.
Right, nice there, mate.
Cheers, mate. All right, so hopefully I'm currently in contact with somebody on Twitter who we hope to actually interview about this deal in the next couple of weeks, a special guest who's a South American expert. It doesn't really take Einstein to work out who it could be. All you've got to do is go back and look
Tim
at it.
Tim Vickery.
Yes, exactly. So hopefully a renowned BBC journalist will be able to join us on the podcast in a couple of weeks to talk over this deal. No.
$900, you do?
Exactly.
I listen to the football fan in every week. He always talks about getting stitched up by different countries for being paid. So.
Yeah, well, I'm sure I can get him in touch with Johnny Davidson to be able to tell him that it's for the love, not the money. All right, so we're going to wrap it up now, guys. Hopefully the Socceroos will have a good game in a couple of minutes. Obviously you'll get this after that game's finished, so you'll know whether we've been excited or disappointed in 2.5 hours. So basically, just need to thank Bodes thanks Craig and Waspy for joining me, and I hope you guys have a great trip and enjoy yourselves as usual, and it's a good result over in Wellington.
Yeah, hopefully we can remember some of it this time.
If you can remember it, it's not a good trip, Craig.
No. I don't know if I want to remember it. Well, the game, that is.
Thanks to our sponsors, J&M's Chicken.
J&M's Chicken and
the
Mermaids.
And Vanilla Coca-Cola.
Mermaids and Calendar Girl.
Oh, I mean,
they're good restaurants.
Yeah,
Mermaids make a good steak.
All right, guys, thanks very much for listening. Check us out. You can get in touch with us by clicking the episode notes. You can get all our Twitter handles there. You can get in touch with the show via Facebook, Twitter, and email. Also, check out our YouTube channel and our Facebook Live videos. We will be putting Facebook Live videos, hopefully, for the Wanderers game. It doesn't look like Bodie will have a SIM card for New Zealand, so we might be able to do some live Facebook Live stuff from Wellington.
I just do want to throw it out
before the game, possibly.
We won't be able to do that.
I'll throw it out to Andy.
How about and you can hold them in the pod. I'll try and get an interview with one of the New Zealand guys while I'm over there.
All right, yep. Too easy. Well, it doesn't have to be on live. You can record it and then we can upload it.
I wasn't going to do it live.
Andy Hayden, if he's listening, I will get some...
Andy Hayden doesn't listen.
Some photos for the Nibby Groundhopper for the Flashlight Friday.
Flashlight Friday.
It's the Vanilla Coke, sorry.
He's gone loopy. Yeah. All right, facebook.com/JetstreamNewey, @JetstreamNewey on Twitter, podcast@NewcastleFootball.net. Thanks very much, guys, for listening. Really appreciate it. Give us a rating on iTunes. Send us a tweet. Get in contact. Share it on Facebook, social media, all that stuff. And spread the word. And we will be back to you after the Wellington game to do a review next week. Thanks very much. And go the Socceroos.
Oh, that Sydney side of shit out.
Have some vanilla cokes.
Oh, man, that's terrible. Well, I'm down, Benjamin.